Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm going to be speaking about the rapture of the saints today, and I'm going to be giving you some scripture and just giving you some revelation that I believe will help you in your understanding of the rapture. And I understand, before we start, beloved, that this is a controversial subject. It's a subject that people get very uptight about and very opinionated about, and that's okay. I'm willing to take some differing opinions, and I'm willing to take somebody else's viewpoint, but this is what God has shown me and God has revealed to me. And so I just pray that God will also give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I'm not saying that I can't be wrong, but I'm saying that this is what God has shown me, and so I'm going to teach it today. And I believe it speaks to us when discussing the rapture and the catching up or the taking away of the saints, the body of Christ, the church. I believe it speaks to us that we are to be ready, and no matter what, we're to be ready. No matter when Jesus comes back to receive the church unto himself, we are to be ready. And whether it happens today or next week, a year from now, or 10 years, or 100 years from now, we are to be ready. That's what God calls us to do, is to be ready and to be ready and without spot or wrinkle. And as we prepare ourselves for the second coming, as we prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus Christ, I think it behooves all of us just to keep in mind that it could happen at any time, that no man knows the day or the hour. In fact, we're warned not to try to set the day or the hour. We're not to predict dates. We're just to be ready. We're to have oil in our lamp, and we're to be on guard and on watch and be ready so that no matter when it comes, you will be ready and you'll be taken with the saints. I believe the Bible is very clear in its teaching on the rapture and the catching up of the saints. The word rapture, I'll discuss that in just a minute. The word rapture itself is not in the Bible, but neither is the word Trinity and many other Bibles words, many other words that we assume they're in the Bible that we take for granted when talking about the kingdom of God. And so the word rapture itself is not in the Bible, but the word catching up or caught away is. That comes from 1 Thessalonians 4. 16 and 17 says the Lord will descend, and we'll talk about that scripture in just a minute. The Lord will descend with a shout, and the word caught up there is harpazo, and it means to be caught up or to be taken up or taken away. And so that is the picture of the church as the Lord comes back to it. But I want to start off today in Leviticus 23. So if you have your Bible there, open it up to Leviticus 23. And this is the chapter that describes the seven feasts of Israel. And I want to preview my statements here this morning by saying that in every book of the Old Testament is a picture of Jesus Christ. That all of the books, and some people say, well, we don't need to read the Old Testament, that we have the new covenant, we have the covenant given to us by the blood of Jesus, and it's written on our hearts, and so therefore the Old Testament isn't appropriate for our lives. But I want you to understand, we don't live by the law, but Jesus came to fulfill the law, and every book of the Old Testament is a signpost or a sign pointing to Jesus Christ. Oral Roberts once had a sermon entitled Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. You can probably find that on YouTube or in some of the archives of his sermons, but it's really true. Jesus is in every book of the Bible. Jesus is the story. Yes, there's God the Father, there's the Holy Spirit, but the whole story revolves around Jesus, because in him and through him and because of him and by him, all things are held together. All things were made. And so in Leviticus 23, we have a great chapter, a whole chapter, given to the children of Israel. And these were the feasts that they were to keep, and to keep them on a yearly basis, on a regular basis, and even the Sabbath rest on a weekly basis. And these were given to them so that they would remember their God. They were given to them as a memorial, you might say, to remember God by and to honor God and to bring worship and glory to Him in their life. And so that would keep them connected to their Lord, their God. Well, the first four feasts have already been literally fulfilled in the life and times and ministry of Jesus Christ. The first four feasts were the Passover, where Jesus went to the cross and shed His blood, and His precious blood is now over the doorposts and lintels of our heart, and so that keeps the death angel for all eternity away from us. The second feast of unleavened bread is when Jesus went into the tomb and He took the gates, the keys from hell away from the devil, and He cleansed sin out of the world by His shedding of blood. And that is the second feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which in the Jewish household is symbolized by the woman, or all the people going, and they take the yeast, they take the leaven, they take the symbolizing sin, they sweep it out of their house, they sweep it out of their cupboards. And so that is was fulfilled by Jesus Christ when He went into the tomb after shedding His precious blood to remove sin from the whole world. And then the third feast is the Feast of First Fruits, and that is symbolized by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When He was resurrected, He was presented back to God. His body was given back to God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, that Jesus Christ was presented back to His Father as the first fruits of all creation, of all things that were created. Jesus Christ Himself, the Creator, was given back to His Father as the first fruits of all creation. And so His resurrection was completed when He sat down at the right hand of God, and He was glorified, and He presented Himself as the first fruits of all creation back to His Father, Jehovah God. And so we too can look forward to resurrection because Jesus was resurrected. We too know that we will have a bodily resurrection at some point and some time, that we'll come up out of the grave in a bodily form sometime. And so we know that we too will be fruits, but not first fruits. We have our number, our designated number. You will be given it as you are taken up to heaven, and your designated number may be in the millions or billions, depending on the number that are saved. But Jesus Christ is number one. He is the one thing. He is the one thing that was given back to God as the number one first fruit offering of all creation. Well, the fourth feast is the Feast of Pentecost. And Pentecost came 50 days after, first fruits came 50 days after the resurrection. Pentecost, Jesus told the disciples as He was preparing to ascend up to heaven for the final time, He told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for what the Father has promised you. In Acts 1, He is giving them instruction. He's saying, wait here in Jerusalem for what the Father has promised you. And in verse 5 through 8, He says, you will be receiving power. You will be baptized with power. You'll receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power to be My witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so the disciples waited. After Jesus ascended, He was taken from them. Just in a heartbeat, He was taken from them. And the angel said, don't stand there and gaze. This is the way He's going to come back. But in the meantime, He's given you something to do. He's given you a charge. And so as they waited on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verse 1, the Holy Spirit was poured out, just as Jesus had prophesied. The Holy Spirit was poured out to each and every man and woman there. And they were all given the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. They began to preach. And thousands, if not maybe millions, of people in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, then they heard the gospel message in their own language. And so that was the fourth feast, and it was literally fulfilled as the Holy Spirit was poured out, just as Jesus predicted and prophesied that it would be. Now, I ask you, beloved, if Jesus' life and ministry symbolized the first four feasts of the Feast of Israel in Leviticus 23. There's three more feasts discussed there, and wouldn't you believe that the last three feasts are also going to be literally fulfilled by the life and times and ministry of Jesus Christ. Well, I think that's a fair assumption. I believe it's going to happen just as it happened with the first four feasts. And the remaining three feasts are spoken of in Leviticus 23, starting in verse 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing a trumpet, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Well, that Feast of Trumpets is the feast that the earthly representation of the return of Jesus Christ, and his return is accomplished in two phases. The first part of his return is the rapture, what we call the catching away, and this Feast of Trumpets, the trumpets are blown, but also in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, it talks about the trump of God being blown to call the church out, to call out the church and to prepare them for the coming of Jesus Christ, to take the church home with him to the heavenly abode during the time of the tribulation. And so the trumpet is blown. And we'll look at that scripture in just a minute. But the trumpet always in the Old Testament times, it called people, it called the children to battle. It called the children to assemble, to march, and to strike out. And it called the people to prepare. And so the trumpet will be used in that regard, the trump of God, for the calling out of the church in the day of the rapture. Well, the other two feasts I'm just going to mention briefly because they don't impact our study right now, but just to say that the next two feasts in verse 27, Leviticus 23, it says, "Also the tenth day of the seventh month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls," that is to say, you shall fast, "and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that day, for it is the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God." And so the day of atonement is a day of repentance. It's a day to ask the Lord to forgive you. It's also a day to get right with your neighbor and to get right with your fellow man here on this earth and to ask him to forgive you if you've harmed him or transgressed him in any way. And so that Day of Atonement speaks of repentance and a time of cleansing of bitterness, a time of cleansing of unforgiveness. And so the Day of Atonement then is the sixth feast. And the seventh feast is the grand finale, and that is when Jesus comes back to tabernacle with us. And so that is rightly called and appropriately called the Feast of Tabernacles. And that is taken up in verse 34. Leviticus 23, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it." So this is the final feast, and this is represented in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ when he comes with all the saints, not to gather them up, but he comes with the saints to set up his millennial reign and set up his kingdom here on this earth for all eternity. And then that is followed in Revelation 21, with a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem comes down out of heaven, and a new heaven and a new earth. The old earth passes away and is burned up with fire, and the new heaven and the new earth then is established as the kingdom where the saints will reign with Jesus Christ and Jehovah for all eternity. And so Jesus comes to tabernacle with us, or to dwell with us, just as he did here on this earth in the first chapter of John. It says that the Word was made flesh. In verse 14, it says the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us, or it tabernacled among us. And that tabernacle means that he comes to dwell with us for all eternity. And now, every year at the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews come back to Israel and they set up their booths and they tabernacle. They live in their booths, their sukkahs, and they live that way to remind them that the Lord took care of them when they were in the wilderness, that the Lord provided shelter, and he provided food, and he provided clothing that did not wear out for them, and he provided for them as they were going through the wilderness for 40 years, that the Lord was their provision, Jehovah Jireh. He was their provision, and he provided, and he cared for them, and he took care of them every step of the way. Well, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, Paul takes up the subject of what happens to the dead and the resurrection. The Thessalonians are asking him, and he says here in verse 13, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And so, if you'll note, there's a couple of things here that are really worth noting, and that is, first it says that those who are dead in Christ, in other words, the believers who have known Jesus Christ as their Lord, they will be caught up first, they will be taken first, they're not going to be left in the grave, their bodies. And then it says that we who are alive and remain, verse 15, will be taken after those who have already died. In other words, if we are still alive here on this earth when Jesus comes back to gather up the church, the first that are going to be caught up with him in the air are those who have already, those saints that have already passed away. Those saints that are in the grave, they're going to be, the graves are going to explode open, and those saints are going to be coming up out of the graves. And then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up with them. And verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. There's the blowing of the trumpets, the blowing of the trumpet to herald the coming, and also to say, it's time to gather up. It's time to gather up the church. And when the trumpet of God sounds, everybody on the face of the earth is going to hear it, and the graves are going to explode, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those of us who remain will be gathered up with him. Verse 17, it says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. There's that word caught up, which means to be gathered together, to be snatched away. And that is the word where the word rapture from comes from. The Greek word is harpazo, H-A-R-P-A-Z-O. And that word means we're going to be caught up or snatched away in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Well, it doesn't say anything about the Lord coming down to the earth. It doesn't say anything about the Lord establishing his kingdom. It doesn't say anything about the Lord coming to make his domain or his dwelling place here on this earth. And the reason for that is that he does not come to this earth. He stays in the air and he catches up the church. He catches up the believers, those who have been righteous and been dedicated and committed to him. He'll catch them up and take them away. And it says he will take us into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And then Paul says in verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. And so we have comfort that we're going to be resurrected. If your loved ones are in the grave, they're going to be resurrected. And if you are living today, if you're listening to me today, and you are a believer, you can be comforted in knowing that Jesus Christ is going to come back for you someday. And so the admonition, the encouragement for you today is to be ready, is to be ready, is to be ready. And so that nothing that happens in regards to the rapture or the catching away, will catch you by surprise, that everything will be in order and ready, and you will be prepared to go as the time draws near. Well, in John 14, verse 1, Jesus was talking to the disciples, and he told them that he was going to prepare a place for them. And he said to them in verse 1, John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, but the way, and the way you know." Well, in verse 3 is the key here that speaks about the rapture. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And again, Jesus is speaking about not coming here to dwell with the believers, but he's saying, "I'm going to receive you to myself when your place is prepared, when your mansion is prepared, when the harvest is ready. I'm going to come and I'm going to harvest the church, and I'm going to receive you to myself." And then he says that where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him." And so Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's a place where there's many mansions, and as a believer, I believe God is building a mansion for you. If you're being true to God's word, if you're living a righteous and a holy life, and you are doing the work of the Lord, and you're studying his word and praying and asking the Lord to continually renew you and refresh you, then God is preparing a place for you, and you have no worries, you have no doubts, you have no concerns that God is going to take you when Jesus comes and descends and gathers up the church. Well, beloved, I hope you have no concerns or worries about that today. I hope you know that you are saved. I hope you know that when Jesus descends, that you will be ready, that when the voice of the archangel sounds and the cry goes out and the trumpet sounds, the trump of God sounds, I hope that you are ready and you just say, "Come, Jesus, come quickly. Come, Jesus, I'm ready. Take me. I'm ready to go." And so if you're in that situation today, you have nothing to worry about. You have everything to gain. And to live as Christ, to die as gain. And if you are not in that situation today, I pray that you get down on your knees and you ask the Lord to come into your life. If there's something that's holding you away from the Lord, if you have anger towards God or bitterness towards him or some other person here, I pray you ask the Lord to cleanse your heart, to prepare your heart for his coming, to prepare yourself for the blessings of being able to abide with Jesus, and that we can encourage you with these words, that you will always be with the Lord. Well, I pray that's where you're at today, that you know that you're going to be with the Lord for all eternity. If you make a decision in that regard, let me know, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know, and I'll rejoice with you. I'll pray with you, get you some material to start you on your Christian walk. And we just praise the Lord for the people that are receiving this message here today. Well, we're going to be talking more about the rapture next week and the catching away. And there's some more scripture I want to share with you in that regard. And so tune in next week and we'll continue this subject and continue seeking the Lord. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.